Singapore, this is still one Benedictine. You can continue. You have it now. Slowly, mindfully, come out. Meditation. Okay. We will now have another Q&A session, followed by the review of the Heart Sutra short notes that I given out earlier. But maybe today I will change it. We will review this book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. How many of you have read this book? Nobody. This is a very, very important book, I tell you. You want to understand the Dhamma, the cultivation, this is the book that you have to read. Even after you have read, don't think you already understood. There are so many things inside there. You can never really fully understand until you awaken. Anyway, we will start off with the usual meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. Okay. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any Q&A, you can. The mic is here. Come. The wireless mic is here. Anybody want to ask question, you can put up your hand. Or report your meditation. You have to try to report your meditation, otherwise you won't learn. Anybody? Okay, if nobody, then we will go through this book. I'll read you the introduction. It's spread your sincere hope that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and meditator will be able to make use of these transcript notes on meditation to develop a better understanding of the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings. That can be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. As these notes were compiled based on direct transcripts from the recording done, its words will be more like those of spoken language rather than a written text. Hence, we hope readers will be able to adjust themselves accordingly to understand its true meaning and intent better. And a better way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript note. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk at this link. So that one is the Dropbox link. You got problem, you can always email to Brother Sriyan. He can guide you along. The acknowledgement is the donor's sincere intention that these transcript notes be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayanamita who had donated and helped out in the transcription, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Then, by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causing condition for all Dhamma friends who have donated and helped out to realize their noble and good wishes as soon as possible. So this was dated 31st October last year. Oh no, the previous year, 2013. And it also happened to be my actual birthday. That's why this is a gift of Dhamma. And this is important because that particular sharing was very clear. And Dharma friends who appreciated that talk, they suddenly, out of appropriate condition, they volunteered to transcribe the talk. I think this particular talk was transcribed by quite a number of Kayanamita. And finally, we edited it, finalized it, and that's how this book came about. And all the donation from all this book came from Kayanamita funds. That's why all Kayanamita, you can rejoice in this wholesomeness, eh? Because you all partake in this Dhammadana. Eh? You can rejoice if you want to. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you turn to page 3. Session 1, Pre-Puja, to cultivate the 5 spiritual faculties needed to counter the 5 hindrances. So the reason for all our puja in between the Dhamma talk and sharing for all the Tuesday, Thursday class is because of the cultivation, especially to develop the spiritual faculty. So the first part is the same. To cultivate the 5 spiritual faculty needed to counter the 5 mental hindrance. You compose your mind to develop the sadha, the very strong faith through understanding how special and how wonderful the Buddha is, how important his teaching is, so that your faith in the Buddha and his teaching can be firmly established until it is very stable. When this happens, your confidence in the Buddha and his teaching will make your mind very composed and calm. Through the faith, you will have confidence in yourself to cultivate the virya, or spiritual zeal that is needed for you to understand his teaching much better. And then with that, you can also assimilate what has been shared much more easily. The reason being, the 5 spiritual faculty, they are spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why the 5 spiritual faculties are very important. Without the spiritual faculty, your hindrance, the opposite 5, will be very strong. That's why you are not able to meditate. The Buddha mentioned very clearly, the reason why you are not peaceful, you cannot enter that meditative state of inner calmness, inner peace, and inner awareness is because of the mental hindrance. They hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. So that is the reason why you need to establish the faith leading to the virya and the cultivation of mindfulness, stabilizing it to become samadhi so that you can develop the wisdom. So the chanting is to give you faith. The vibration is to strengthen the sadha virya leading to the mindfulness within. When you chant with faith, sadha virya, it will drive you. Then even the chanting become mindful. The paying respect or veneration towards the Buddha become full of sati and sadha. Then every movement, every action, you can develop sati because of sadha and virya. So those are the purpose. That's why towards the end, not only we rejoice after the chanting, I also mentioned, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha to end the pre-puja. Everything is to be done with sati or mindfulness. Then when the meditation starts, I always say, relax yourself. Relax means no more worry, no more doubt, no more anxiety. Just at ease, relax body and mind. There you are here to meditate. And maintain some form of attention means don't think. Then only you can start the meditation. So the 4 support for meditation are very simple. Relax, maintain awareness. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. You don't try to be aware. Don't talk, don't chatter, don't think, you are already aware. But without the spiritual faculty, you cannot do it. That's why you have to train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, reflect and contemplate deep into the meaning of the teaching, who the Buddha is, how special he is, and how wonderful his teaching is. All this will help you. Then I continue. The reason why this talk came about and this sharing came about was because, as I mentioned, tonight I rejoiced at that time, because there was some very good question, written question. These questions are very relevant, so we will go through it before we start the meditation. You all must listen attentively. That's why the words are bolded, because this is a very good question. And that's why I ask, that's why I said, you all must ask. Otherwise, I don't know where you all got stuck. And I wouldn't know which are the relevant essential Dhamma that you all need me to speak on and elaborate on to develop the understanding. But through your question, I will know. Just like this morning, a simple question. How do we know whether it's a feeling or a thought? When you don't understand, it's really, really a serious question. But the moment I explain and you understand, the question ceases to be. That's why if you don't ask, I didn't even know that you can be stuck with so basic an understanding. To us cultivator who has gone through all this, it was never a problem. Even before I start developing the Dhamma understanding and meditation, I never had this problem of differentiating between what is feeling and a thought. To me, it's very clear, understand? But I don't know about you all. That's why I used to tell a lot of Dhamma friends, during the early years, when I first came out to share 11 years ago, I used to have this perception of what the living beings are. I thought everybody was more or less like me. What you need are the Dhamma. But when I came out to share, I got a shock of my life. I never knew that most of them, they are even not ready to receive the Dhamma. The reason being, they don't have a clear understanding of what the Dhamma is. The basic foundation of the teaching, the basic understanding of the essential teachings are all not there. It's just like you go into the class. They haven't gone through kindergarten and primary school. Then straight away you want to teach them essay. All the various subjects. So we have to start from basic ABC, then teach them how to form words, then teach them how to make sentences, and then only you can actually evolve the teaching. Basically, it was the same. So that's why there were many incidents. I realized I have to go back to the essential teaching and repeat them many, many times until the very important basic understanding and essential foundation of Dhamma has been established. Because if you cultivate without understanding, you get stuck. You become gullible. And there's no way you can progress. So over the years, a lot has been actually developed. Then I realized nowadays, more and more Dhamma friends can understand the Dhamma more easily. Like in the early years, the real Four Noble Truths also hardly anybody know. They always tell me, First Noble Truth, life is suffering. And the commonly perceived thing, you always take it to be Buddhism or the Dhamma. Then not only that, when it comes to the five aggregate of form and mind, I realize hardly anybody understand. You know the words, but you never knew what the five aggregate of form and mind is. And the difference between word, concept, idea, and the true experience of mind you never understand. The true realization and the perception of the pure consciousness, the pure feeling without the words, you are never understood. So all this need to be re-established. That's why this particular transcript came about. So I will read to you that question that was asked. The question said, "Hello, Brother Teo. When we do body sweeping, is it just a thought or an actual feeling?" See? Again, the same question. Correct or not? Thought and feeling. Do you understand the question I asked? I told you to reflect properly. Body sweeping. Did I ever say body sweeping? I never said that, did I? What did I say? Use your mind to sweep. How can your body sweep? You make your body into a broom and sweep. Cannot, no way. You use your mind to sweep through. Mind sweeping method is not body. Even like that, it can go wrong. Despite every Thursday, every Tuesday, more or less the same type of sharing, but yet people don't get it. But luckily, this particular brother asked. I remember it was Eddie. Eddie, you all should thank him. He's here. Where is Eddie? Oh, come back already. Oh, Wendy's husband. You all should thank him. He arises the condition. Then I said, it's okay, at least he asked, and then I can help clarify, which means he asked a very relevant question. It is just a thought or an actual feeling, so that was the question. So what do you think? What do you think? Is it a thought or a feeling? When you do mind sweeping method? So if you think it's feeling, if you think it's thought, then we read on. You see, the problem is without clear understanding, all this will surface. Yes. I always say it is to decondition the heedless thinking, understand? I never say whether it's a thought or a feeling. The purpose of mind sweeping method is what? To decondition your heedless thinking. Do you know how it does that? Because mind sweeping method is about you silence your mind and just feel, no thinking, understand not? Then as you sweep it down, every time you feel and you don't think, it will introduce a new conditioning, which is to decondition your heedless thinking. That's why I say there is no more thought, no more thinking. Otherwise, you always use your thought-based meditation. You just feel and relax. Very easy, just feel. Feel it soothingly, relax. But he asked a very important question, but he still cannot understand. He said, "What do you mean by feel?" He said, "When I sit like that, the thought went out." To him, it's still a thought. I said, "Are you sure?" It is still a thought because you don't understand and you think a lot. Also because you are heedless. That's why you think. It's still a thought. When I say you feel means what? I will teach you and you can learn now. You feel your body hot and cold. You just put your hand on your body and silence your mind to just feel. Then what happened? Feel the sensation. Or put your hand on the floor mat or floor. The moment that sensation or feeling is there, you have no thought. Listen to this carefully. When that sensation is there, you have no thought. But the trouble is, the moment you see your hand, thought arise, understand not? Or the moment you perceive the sensation, the memory arise, you create thought, understand not? Then the moment before you can feel, you start to think. That's where the problem is. So what you need to do is to experience that feeling with a silent mind without thought. That's why I say when you meditate, you just silent, don't try to know. Because you don't even spend time to understand what is going on. You are so eager to label, to create the concept of what you feel. Because your life, you have been living life that way, using your thought that way. You never look at the reality. You never see things as they are. You never feel. You hardly feel. You have a lot of concept and idea of what you feel, but you never feel. That's why you never see. You think a lot. Every moment of seeing, you never see. You are never with the pure seeing. The moment consciousness arises, you are actively lost in thought, creating input of content of consciousness. That's why you cannot understand. That's why you cannot develop the wisdom. And this is very basic understanding of meditation. If you don't get this right, you will forever be doing the old way. What is the old way? Yeah? Note one. Feeling, feeling, feeling. Yeah? Oh. Rising, rising, rising. Yeah. Falling, falling. Intending to walk, and doing all those funny things. But you never investigate. You never silence your mind. That's why you never, never understand what the true mind is, what sati is. Now clear or not? Huh? Now clear or not? Which means when you feel something hot or cold, let's say you go and touch something cold, like the floor or the floor mat, that feeling is there. So when you say you feel, means what? You actually send your hand down there, to make contact. Then you send your mind to the contact to feel. Understand not? You don't go and create words. Understand not? That's how the mind feels. The body cannot feel or sweep. Only the mind can feel and sweep through the body. We are feeling and relaxing at the location you place your mind. See? Very simple exercise of mind training to decondition your heedless thinking. But if you don't get it right and you don't understand what it means, you again go back into thought-based meditation. Understand? Oh, Brother Teo say think. Brother Teo say feel. Then you quote me some more, thinking you are very great. Ah, Brother Teo say sweep like that lah. You forgot about that understanding. Silence your mind, just feel. Because you are so used to the old way of living life, because you think a lot. You cannot understand what is just feel. That's why the question comes, is it a thought or a feeling? Because without the thought arising, he cannot establish all this question. That's why the thought is very cunning. Then we go on. So the mind goes to where you want it to be, which means you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. That is very good training in that. You want it to be at the forehead, it can stay there. You want it to be at the breathing, it can stay there. You can sweep it to anywhere, your mind base, your heart area, your stomach, abdomen, buttock, or wherever. So when you do that training, means you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be, to feel. Without allowing the mind to do something, the mind will wander off. It will be lost in thought very quickly. That's why you allow it to do something. What do you allow the mind to do? Just feel. Don't think. That's why it's a very important step to decondition the heedless thinking. That's why do not underestimate this mind sweeping method, combining with metta and anapanasati. These are very important basic initial training. A lot of people go and think this way, you know. Oh yeah, kindergarten style. When I start meditation, they ask me to do mind sweeping method. Oh, now I expert already. I want to do vipassana. You go and do all those noting. Then you think that is vipassana. For those who understand, they really, really pity you. It's just like the four number trouble. A lot of people used to tell me, Brother Teo, why still four number trouble? Kindergarten stuff, Sunday school children learn four number trouble. We already know what four number trouble is. See? Then when I ask them what is the first number trouble, life is suffering lah. Then that day even best. I think Sister Kwan San. What is his name? I forgot already. Chilu ya. Wei Shen. Oh, you don't mind? I quote your example. That was a very beautiful one. Oh. Because he got certain understanding, but he thought that was the Dhamma. No, because he has actually put in a lot of effort, learn a lot, listen, read up, then use a lot of rational understanding. Then he told me, Brother Teo, that Sunday when we came here and cleaned, he said, Brother Teo, suffering is everywhere. At least now he knows, you know, he can see, you know, everywhere suffering. You know, he himself suffer, a lot of people suffer, the whole world is suffering. So that is the noble truth of suffering. But the problem with him is, he never understood the first noble truth. Then you know what he told me. Life like no more meaning. Everywhere suffering. I said, the Buddha never teach like that. The second turning of the Four Noble Truths is very important, and you have reflected upon it, contemplated into it. That's why the Buddha said, this noble truth of suffering is to be what? Understood. And he has understood what suffering is, but he don't know how to apply that understanding. He saw suffering everywhere because he never understood the third noble truth. Suffering need not be when you have wisdom. There is only suffering when there is no wisdom, when there is delusion. So that is key to the unfolding of the teaching. When you understand that, we ain't got suffering anymore. That's why you have compassion. You pity all those people because without the Dhamma, without the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma and the teaching, suffering is everywhere. And then maybe you can use that word in inverted comma. Life is suffering to those who are heedless and deluded. That is very true. But you have to qualify it, understand or not? Life was never suffering for those who have the wisdom and the understanding. So it doesn't mean that because suffering is everywhere, life got no more meaning, is it? Where everything end up in suffering. No. It only happens when there is no wisdom. So that's why when the noble truth is not understood, your cultivation becomes one-sided. Understand not? If you have understood that suffering need not be, and there is a path that leads to the end of all suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation, that it can lead you to the enlightenment, then you can leave the third phase of Dhamma. Third phase of Dhamma is what? The fruition of your hard work. And during that time, what happened? That is the most beautiful phase of your life. Remember not? Remember I said there in the notes, Heart Sutta note, yeah, you turn to the appendix. Pass me that copy. It's also on the whiteboard. You turn to the appendix. The last page, appendix 8. Phase 3, Pativeda, the last paragraph. This phase is reaping the fruits of one's cultivation, leading a noble life. Live the life of an awakened one or enlightened one. Last page. Appendix 8, last page. See, even the word last page is also confusing to some people. So Dhamma is not easy, because if you don't listen attentively, you will have problem. Yeah, you are looking for appendix 8. But the first guidance is what? Last page. That's why listen to that one first. And then only look for appendix 8. If you look for appendix 8 without looking for the last page, you will be looking through the whole book. Yeah, you want to know where the appendix start, then where is appendix 1, 2, 3, all like that, you search. It like cultivation of Dhamma. You can be lost for very long. But if you listen attentively, people already say last page, and that is key. And then appendix 8. Straight away you find it. Last paragraph, able to locate or not. The third phase of Dhamma, under notes. This is the most beautiful phase of one's life where one can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the noble life as described below. Now, life got meaning or not? Life is full of meaning, isn't it? Such beautiful and meaningful life you never understood. It's in the teaching. That's why the Buddha said enlightenment in the here and now is possible. You don't have to wait till death. That's why the Dhamma is sanditiko. No need to wait till death to realize it. Or the promise eternal heaven. No need to wait. Because after you die, what happens if it's not eternal heaven? Instead, something else happens. So you become gullible, right? Where there is a belief. But this one, you can put to test and realize that before you die. Life become much more meaningful and good because no more suffering. That part of life you want or not? No more worry, no more anxiety, no more misery, no more sorrow and lamentation, no fear. Everything is so beautiful, so meaningful and so wonderful. No more worrying about this, worry about that, health problem, getting old, children's problem, financial problem, relationship problem, house problem. All those life-related problems, no more. Too much money also got problem. Too poor also got problem. Then worrying about crisis, calamity, everything. Those who have to worry about life are people who don't understand life, who don't have wisdom and understanding. Nature is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. You got two choices in life. Either you accept, accord and flow, and be happy, or you react to it and become miserable and want things your way. It's your choice. That's why the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, suffering or misery will arise. But when you understand the nature's law, you understand the condition behind, you have right view, you can come to terms with all things, all situations. So that's why life can become beautiful. Then the second point is, able to understand life clearly, hence there is so much joy, happiness, peace and love, leading to compassion. Then, via heedful living, one is able to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life within this world or while in this world. Then you will be able to always act righteously with wisdom, love and compassion. That's why I say you don't make a choice. You just act, not according to memory, not according to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your greed, your insecurity. All those are acting according to delusion, evil. But when you act according to Dhamma understanding, act according to wisdom and understanding, you got no more problem. When you have right view, you will know how to act. You don't make choice anymore. So all these are very important. Then you are always heedful to live the noble life of peace, joy and happiness. Hence you are no more heedless. Then you are able to live life in accordance with one's noble understanding. Hence, no need to worry about life anymore. That is the most beautiful, isn't it? If you don't have to worry about life, you are the most beautiful living being ever to exist. Human beings' problem is so much worry, so much problem, so much anxiety. Like, never end. After you worry about yourself, you worry about your children later. Then not enough, worry about your grandchildren. Human being is really human being. Then the last one is understand precisely that you will understand precisely that this form and mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live out this segmented life while in this world. Then you are always mindful, very mindful of your actions, speech and thought while living the noble life of heedfulness. So these are all the wonderful possibility of living life, having that understanding, able to have so much meaning to life, able to develop so much happiness and joy, able to be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. And that is what the Dhamma is all about. So now you understand, no more suffering is everywhere, no more meaning. They want to give up. Then I say, everything also not real. Then your money, how? Give to me. Not like that. The Dhamma is not like that. It depends on the user of money. If the user is deluded, then money becomes evil. Then money is not real. Because you don't know how to use. But for those who know how to use, money is useful. Money is wholesome. Money can bring about so much goodness, wholesomeness. You can use it to donate, to develop charity, to help people who are in trouble, in crisis, who are in need of help, and to help develop a lot of R&D, like what Bill Gates is doing, to help humanity in many fields of disease, sickness, and other things. There are so many possibilities when you know how to use your wealth. That's why the Buddha said the first type of happiness that lay people must have is the happiness of possession. When you know you have earned this money righteously through the right livelihood, you will have a lot of happiness. That is the first type of happiness that you will experience in life. And this is what you're supposed to realize. And this is your reward. Then the second type of happiness is when you are able to use this wealth or this possession that you have for the happiness of all and yourself, your loved ones. There is another type of joy. When you are able to help people relieve suffering, bring about a lot of wholesomeness, you can make a difference to people's life. You can actually create a lot of wholesomeness with it. And there is so much joy that comes with doing all these things. Then when you already have the means, the Buddha say, you should pay off your debt, understand? So that there is no more burden to you and your future generation. Then the last one is when you have the means, possibility, when you can afford. He said, live a blameless life so that the wise one will not blame you. Blameless life means don't allow people to blame you unnecessarily. Understand? It's just like a friend of mine used to say. He said, actually in this world, when you already successful, when you have the means, when you have enough money, whatever problem you face in this world, he said, if money can help solve, then it's not a problem. You agree, or not? So I have many examples. I used to tell people, you can afford. Like when you got certain incidences in life, don't be so petty, and give in a little bit, it's okay, or whatever you can afford. But don't become gullible, understand? Don't become a good-hearted fool, understand? Just like that day, my sister-in-law, he was coming out of a basement car park. I think near to One World Hotel. Then suddenly one motorbike come by, then hit her, skidded, then I think slightly wounded at the leg. Then the motorbike got some form of damage. It was a Malay gentleman, 38 years old. My sister-in-law panicked, don't know what to do. Your first time. Then after that, she said she dare not drive. She called up my wife. Then luckily, we were at home. Then I told my wife, okay, we go. We will help to resolve. I told her nothing. I said, check whether that person injured or not. If not injured, then any damage or not. Otherwise, you resolve it. Resolve it means what? Need to pay people, pay people. But the trouble is, they still want to know. I think I'm on the right, he's on the wrong. So how? Right and wrong argue. You get more problem. But for us, if we can afford, if we can settle it and make them feel good, it's better. Because I told her, you go and make police report. You know how much time you got to spend there. Then you know when the police is not friendly, he will summon you and you straight away have to pay the fine. You know? Then you lose your NCB when people claim against your insurance. So, even basic economic or calculation, you will come to know it's worthwhile to compensate if it's not much. So when I went there, every time, like very good karma, I saw the motorbike number plate, start with K one. Or K means from Kedah. Oh, I straight away say, you from Kedah? Hey, look at me. Yeah, Kedah. Oh, orang Kedah. Very easy to talk. Then I have to find out what happened. Then he described, my sister-in-law described. Then I saw the motorbike. Actually, if you see, you don't understand, you will panic. Well, the petrol was leaking, non-stop leaking. So, most people will thought the petrol tank burst off. No, it's the carburetor there. So what happened was, I told my sister-in-law, I asked the gentleman, I said, are you hurt? Then my sister-in-law said, his leg. Then I checked, but he said, it's okay, the leg is okay, but he's still young. I said, never mind, you need to see doctor, you see doctor. Why not we do it this way, I said. If it's not much, the damage, we will settle it. I told my sister-in-law, you pay him 300 first. Then send the bike to a mechanic and check. See how much. If it's not much, we will settle it. But if it's a lot, our advice is very simple. You claim the car insurance. I think this Malay gentleman was also very honest. He very happy. He said, okay, okay, no problem. He said, I'm calling my friend to bring the bike to the mechanic. Then he very honest. The next morning, my sister-in-law called him. Then he replied, he said, the mechanic said it will cost about 400. 400, then my sister-in-law don't know what to do, call back. Then my wife convey the message to me. I said, pay him another 300 or 400 if need to. And then my wife said, yeah, the sister-in-law also suggested that. So she called up again and asked that person, how much must I pay you? He was so honest. He said, you pay me one more 100, is it? We have received 300, add another 100 is 400. Then my sister-in-law also now very smart already. He said, never mind, I pay you another 300, 600, then we settle, he said. Well, then after that, she was relieved. No? Oh. At first, that thought, she didn't know what to do. No? When she called my wife second time, when my wife called back, she thought my wife haven't left the house. No? He said, you are not coming. The sound doesn't appear happy. You know? Then my wife got to tell her, no, we on the way already. Because my wife want to advise her what to do with it. So small thing like that, you can afford, and it doesn't hurt you, settle it, understand not? So that it can be resolved amicably, so that people don't blame you, don't say bad things about you. So these are examples in life. So sometimes it could be your own relative or friends. Because of small thing, you argue. And that day in the paper, you saw that I think Indonesian maid, because of 5,000, killed her housemate. Yeah? You all read the news? Oh. He just killed her maid because of the 5,000 ringgit loan or what. Oh. So all this, if you know how to resolve it, that's why when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, you can resolve it amicably. But if you try to be like right all the time, you can get a lot of justification and reason. Your thought will tell you, how can he do that? How to earn money, you know? 5,000, no. Oh. Just say, I don't have money to pay you like that, can. When you start to follow your thought and reason that way, then you are acting according to what? Anger, emotion, unhappiness, understand? You are not being realistic. In the first place, how did you land? The moment you agree to land, that's it, understand? Or? You may say, I trusted him or her. No? But the reality is, you already loaned. And now the reality is, he told you something. But doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You can still act, but you accept him for what he is. Then you talk to him nicely, resolve it amicably. Then if you feel that that amount doesn't harm you or hurt you, then like a lot of people always say, it's okay, if you can't afford, then let me know when you can afford. And sometimes you'll be very surprised. They really have a lot of gratitude. Well, it happened to my father. They was in this small town. Every year, end of the year, my father will go and check the account, who owe him how much. But these are poor people who come and buy things, but they don't have money. So they got to support their children. So my father is very kind, very compassionate. Then lend them, advance to them. So what happened was, every year before New Year is a Chinese tradition to go around and they will pay up. But this one he knew they can't pay because he was really, really poor and without a proper job, no firm job. Then what my father did was, he also very, very wise. He asked my mother to go. And you know the wife got to do all these dirty things. So my mother went. Then my mother come back. You walk in front, he hide at the back. Then that person's wife tell my wife he's not in. She saw him hiding at the back. Then my mother also understood the message, came back and tell my father. And you know what my father said? If he can afford, he will not hide. You understand? But he know this person as a friend since childhood when they were young together. He said because they are so difficult. That's why don't force them. He said, never mind. Then just see whatever happened. Just let it be. Then for 5 or 6 years later, all of a sudden, you know what happened? This person and the whole family came to my father's shop. Not only pay back, bought a lot of gifts and thank my father. Then my father said, what happened? He said he strike that time 3 digit. And he was able to settle all the debt. See? And not long after that, he passed away. Because he determined to pay off. And the karma is, my father never cheat people. That's why the loan will be paid. If you deceive and cheat, then there is condition for it not to be paid. Then it will not be paid. But because of that, he also benefited. He can strike this type of thing. Then later on, his son became very close to my eldest brother. They were very close friends. Then the family came up. So in life, it's not what you see immediately. When you have goodness, kindness, and understanding, you will know how to act. So these are important dhammas. Okay? Enough story. We go back to the dhamma. So turn to page 6. Now, this part is very important. Second paragraph. So the mind goes to wherever you want it to be, which means you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. That's why you go to your forehead. And you must have something for your mind to do. Remember? Otherwise, your mind will keep on heedlessly wander off. That's why when you do anapanasati, within split second, the awareness of the in and out breath is gone. Split second is gone, lost in thought again. This is the reason why you have to train this heedless mind. The true mind no need to train, asana. It's already perfect. Perfect doesn't mean that it's already wise, asana. You use it to develop wisdom. That true mind cannot come out and leave, got nothing inside there. But it has this ability to insight into whatever. It can see things as they are very clearly, but it has to be connected to a form of mind to develop the understanding. So this true mind, you don't have to train, but the heedless thinking mind, condition arising mind, you need to train. To train means to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be, and you must at the same time let the mind do something. Otherwise, it will heedlessly wander off. So we need to come up with a skillful means for the mind to do something. That's why we ask the mind to just feel, don't think. And then feel what? What do you want the mind to feel? Let's say at the forehead. What are you feeling? What did I tell you? What did I tell you? If there is any tension, tightness, or stress within, relax into it. You don't go and think, understand? You go to your forehead straight away, you think. Then you say, brother, the thought is there. Oh, what can I do if you do like that? I ask you to feel, I never ask you to think. But the moment you go to your forehead, you think a lot. That's why living beings, they are never aware at the heart. Their consciousness is ever always at the forehead. You know why or not? Because your important senses are all in front of your forehead. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile. They are so close. That's why you think so fast. That's why all the brain, the memory, all, they are so near, so connected. But the moment you're aware from the heart, it detaches from the brain. And you become less and less heedless. That's why end of the day, you go back to your heart. And your heart is where the feeling is, the emotion is. Because this is where the feeling body resides. When you are caught unaware during lightning strike, where do you feel the fear? Where do you feel the fear? In the heart, in there. You never feel in the forehead and brain is there. Because this is thought, this is not feeling. That's why when you got fear, cold fear, jealousy, anger, where? The feeling is always at the heart, isn't it? Like, very uneasy. This is what the doctor says, stress. That's why you can get heart attack, understand? It's at the heart there. Whereas, the forehead is your thought. But the problem with mundane mind is, the moment you think, your heart becomes emotional. Understand? When you think of sad thing, what happens? When you think of fearful thing, what happens? Sadness arises, fear arises. Understand? That's why they are all connected. It's consciousness. That's why thought, condition, feeling, emotion. That's why upon contact, feeling arises. Because upon contact, you input the consciousness. Your wrong view, your conditioning. When you are deluded, there is fear. And when there is fear, it manifests in the feeling aggregate, which is at your heart area. That's why your heart is very important. It's the seat of consciousness. It is where all this movement occurs. But the true mind, which is aware there, doesn't do anything. It's just aware. That's how you understand and develop all this through meditation. Can follow or not? Now you slowly understand. You think you have read this book, huh? You think you have understood, huh? So now we go in, you will realize there is so much Dhamma inside there and understanding that you have yet to establish. Then we move on. Huh? So we need to come up with a skillful means for the mind to do something. That's why we ask the mind to just feel. Then we move on further. Huh? If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, just relax them. And these three words, tension, tightness and stress within, are so easy to understand, isn't it? When you are having a headache, there's a lot of tension. But if you have a lot of problem, you worry a lot, there's a lot of stress and tension inside your head. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, all this, you will feel it. Your emotion and fear are at your heart. See? It's always at your heart. It's not at your forehead. Whereas thinking arises in your forehead. If I were you, I mark this. Then I meditate, I check. Then I will have a lot of joy. Because when I came to realize all this through my own investigation, I got so much joy. Then I come to know what truth is. Not what the book tell me, not what the monk tell me. Understand not? This is through your own meditative experience and understand. But you feel it. And you will understand all this. You don't need a professor to teach you. Because the forehead is the place where thought arises. We are respond to memory. And all this you can know. Eh? And the heart is the place where you feel the emotion arising. And they are related. Because when you think of fearful things and unhappy things, or things associated with problem, that it will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Then it will create stress for you. That is how you get into trouble in life. And this is only the theory part. But to really understand it, you have to meditate. See? Theory and understanding is world apart. And to do the cultivation. That's why I want you to feel. When you really feel, you will come to realize that after a tired or stressful day at the office, or after you have done your household chores as a housewife, you are not relaxed and not peaceful because there are still quite a lot of unresolved matter going on in your head and bothering you. These so-called problems of life are still creating stress and tension for you. That's why you will find it so difficult to relax. So in a way, this meditation can allow you to de-stress and unwind yourself, to recuperate, so that you can have more moments of silent mind to really relax your body and mind. It's like you go for a facial or go to a spa. You just let everything down, relax, and let them do the massage to unwind you. Then how do you feel? You feel very good, isn't it? This one my wife knows, he off and on go for facial. Because you are able to relax, then all those stress and tension will go off. And you like those off. Yet you are very relaxed and peaceful. But during meditation, you cannot do that. You cannot just doze off. You need to be aware. So it's more than just to relax and doze off. If you do that, then you don't develop any awareness at all. Means you don't investigate, you don't understand what is going on. You just want to have peace and relax. So meditation is to develop this awareness of mindfulness leading to the heedfulness so that you can be mindful of what is going on to investigate into life. The key is investigate into life. To understand how thought and consciousness come to be and how your thought condition you in the various mind state and emotion. And then you start to understand how all these function following nature's law, which they call citta niyama. Citta is mind, nature's law of the mind. So you develop the understanding of how your mind actually function, the dependent origination, the four noble truth, the essential dhamma. All this you will start to see when you have mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is very important. To be mindful, you need to be aware and feel without the thought. So now you understand, huh? To be mindful, you need to be aware and feel without the thought. It's very near. That's why awareness or mindfulness is before the knowing. The moment you know, you don't feel anymore. You already perceive, understand not? Lost in thought. Labeling. Creating idea and concept, words. You are not with that pure feeling. That's why feeling can only be pure feeling when there is what? When there is what? No, sometimes awareness without wisdom, feeling still condition craving, understand not? Feeling can only remain as pure feeling when there is wisdom, understand not? When there is understanding. Otherwise, that's why I say, you cannot practice yoniso manasikara, understand not? You cannot let go, understand not? Let go means what? When you don't have wisdom, you want to let go. When you don't have wisdom means what? You don't have understanding. That's why the moment of feeling because of ignorance, what you do? You go and think, understand? Avijja paccaya sankara, understand? When you go and think, what do you use? Memory, conditioning, pleasant, unpleasant feeling. Then you label pain, pain, pain. Then it become what? It become the hindrance of mind, understand? Aversion, dislike. What is hindrance? It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. And you meditate without understanding, you label pain, pain, pain. And you expect to be mindful. You expect to have the meditative mind. You expect to do vipassana. That's why I ask you now, what are you doing? You are being gullible. You don't understand what you do. You actually contradict yourself. Understand? Meditation has to be done with understanding. The moment you label it as a pain means what? You dislike that feeling. It's an ill will or aversion towards that feeling, understand not? So Vedana Nupassana, what the Buddha meant is, when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant, you must be aware, understand not? Because this has shift, means you condition it through your delusion, wrong thought. You don't have equanimity of mind. Enlightenment factor of upeka. That's why straight away duality arises. That's why you will have this unwholesome state of mind, hindrance. And your mind can never remain peaceful. You can never experience or feel feeling as feeling. Before you labor, let's say the painful, so-called painful feeling, what is it? It's just a tactile consciousness within. There's no word. You can find out for yourself when it happens. There is this, you call it pulling sensation and all those things. It's that tactile consciousness, the mind, actually, because there's something there that is blocked, the chi and all that. Then you can feel it. The mind actually is trying to come to terms with that reality. But you so fast, through your conditioning and wrong view, label it as pain. Well, you don't like this type of sensation, this type of feeling. And the moment you label, it becomes mental hindrance. That's why it will prevent you from becoming peaceful and aware within. You cannot meditate anymore. The real meditation is you silent. Silent and observe. Without thought. Then when there is no word, no thought, what happened? Yeah? What happened? When you don't label it. Feeling can remain as that pure feeling, isn't it? That sensation. Isn't it? Because you don't have to label. You don't label means what? You don't have like and dislike towards it. You develop the wisdom. Body is like that. It goes the way of nature. When there is contact, feeling arises. And feeling can only be pure feeling if I got upeka, equanimity, if I got understanding, if I can accept this reality. Because this is part and parcel of the reality of this form. That's why every day, five daily contemplation, you reflect, you contemplate, the Buddha said. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond others. Get sick means what? Got pain, got rheumatism, got all those sensations that you don't like, anasana. So when you can accept this reality, your ego, the way of nature, is not you, then when the body is sick, you don't have to sick, you have to endure. Just like Sabha Asavak Sutta. When you can endure, your mind becomes peaceful, where you don't labor. When you don't labor, there is no hindrance, there is no like and dislike. When there is no like and dislike, you relax and silent, sati come in. Spiritual faculty come in, take over. And when sati come in, become continuous, piti arise. Understand that? That's why the enlightenment factor of piti will arise. Then you continue to relax and silent. That mindfulness, like, relax into it, and that chi flow, then, like, there is no more sensation, no more pain. That's why you develop paucity, the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind. Then you can meditate. You can move on. That's why what people teach you, don't be gullible. Investigate into it, understand it. That's why I realize many so-called Buddhist meditator or cultivator, they get stuck, really, really stuck, because they labor a lot, thought-based meditation, and their mind reacts so fast without understanding. Okay? So this part, make sure you develop the understanding. Eh? Then we move on. I think after that you can skip. Huh? The rest you go back and read. Huh? All the mind sweeping method on. Huh? Turn to the next page, page 9. Paragraph, huh? Then I need to let you know one more thing because you are new. Because that day, I think Eddie was new. You look at the whiteboard. This one explained to you the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculty. Huh? There are these five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculty. According to Lord Buddha, the reason why human beings are not able to be peaceful to develop the meditation is because of these five mental hindrances. Do you know what these mental hindrances are? It is a negative mind state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of silent or inner awareness or inner peace. It means this mind has the mental hindrance that hinders it from becoming peaceful. What are they? Huh? They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. These five things are actually common sense, but the Buddha identified them for you, otherwise you may not know what they are or what is going on. The first two hindrances have something to do with your senses. First one is positive craving or sensual desire. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste or tactile, feel something, you will react, whether you like it or you don't like it. So if you like it, then it will have desire for that sense experience. And if you don't like it, it will develop the dislike or aversion or anger towards it, like envy and jealousy. So these are actually positive and negative reactions of mind conditioned by your wrong view. The Buddha said your mind tends to oscillate between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So when you keep on doing that, what will happen? It becomes habits. So habitual tendency will develop the conditioning and condition you into heedlessness. That is, during every moment of sense experience while living your life, whether you are seeing something or thinking or hearing something, you think a lot because of your habitual reaction to sense experience. You keep on reacting to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. And because of that, this mind becomes so habitual with all the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. This habitual tendency or reaction will cause you to be heedless, which means you cannot pay attention to life, and you are not able to see things as they are because you are so preoccupied with your heedless thinking via your reaction to sense experience. So now you understand, because you do it so often, until it becomes habit, understand? Like your spouse, say something only, you straight away react already. Oh, I know what you are going to say. Oh, why? Because habitual tendency. Then every time your spouse disturbs you, you also have the habitual tendency. You think you're very good, you also like that one. Then another one, argue, fight. That's why there is no love, understand? There is no relationship. It's all about ego, trying to be right, trying to argue. You don't feel for each other anymore, understand? You take each other for granted. There is no more love, no more gratitude, no more respect, no more kindness and goodness in you. You no longer feel for each other. You take each other for granted. That's why life is all about when you don't have mindfulness and heedfulness. Then sometimes you become complacent and you become heedless again. So you think you already know the Dhamma with all the Dhamma knowledge. Wow, you can ask me anything. You pass exam with flying colors, the Dhamma exam. Only. Then you think you know. But the problem is, you're actually lying to yourself. There is knowledge. You cannot leave it. That's why you become complacent. You think you know. Then you neglect your practice, your cultivation. Then the worst is, you become gullible. You want to teach, you want to share. Oh, then you tell people. Not to say you cannot, but when you are ready, when you really have the understanding, by all means, and people will rejoice, and people will actually appreciate. But when you are caught in delusion, you have to be careful. Okay, we go on. Because of your constant stirring of your mind via your reaction to sense experience, you are heedless in that sense. So meditation is to understand that this heedless way of living has to stop. Otherwise, you will continue to be heedless because there is no equanimity in you. See? Upeka. Equanimity here means the mind that is not distracted, the mind that is calm, unwavering, collected, and peaceful. So when you have samadhi and stability of mind to stay collected and unwavering, I read again. So when you have samadhi, the stability of mind to stay collected and unwavering will be there. And then whatever you see, whatever you hear and think, your mind will not stir, your mind will not waver. Samadhi. That is a spiritual faculty. That is not a mental hindrance. That's why you have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, which are written on the right-hand side of the whiteboard. Now also we put on the right-hand side. So we have a convention. And they are Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are Pali terms. Sada is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have confidence, your mind will have no more restlessness, which is the fourth hindrance. Do you realize or not, I've been teaching at Brother Sri Anemi Fong's house for the last 6 over years. What do I always teach? The same old essential Dhamma. 5 hindrance and 5 spiritual faculty, the 3 evil roots. And after 6 over years, you still haven't completely understood it. That's why last time a lot of Dhamma friends always ask, Brother Teo, why always repeat and repeat and repeat? If I don't repeat, nobody understands. Even after repeating so long, now I go through with you. Now only you realize how penetrative and how deep that Dhamma was. It was just a normal Thursday class, you know. Understand? Just because people ask questions, no? And all this Dhamma come out. And I can tell you, You don't believe. You go and read all the Dhamma book. You come and show me one book that can even talk about half of what I try to explain to you. You can't. You can never find one like that one. That's why it's very different. Eh? What's the time now? Huh? Almost time.
5:15.
Wow. We're supposed to end 5:30. Yeah? Oh, okay. I have to skip a bit. The rest you go back and read. Huh? So that we have more time. Okay, we skip. Eh? All these are so important, no? Every page, you know. Oh. And I don't know how you all can just keep the book and put it in the shelf for so long. If I don't share with you, I tell you, a lot of you all still don't know the gem and the jewel inside. Now you turn to page 13. I just finish off this one. Second paragraph. Oh, sorry. We can start above there. Maybe page 12. The last sentence. So the question is, how can we stabilize that sati and samadhi? That's why the Buddha advised the bhikkhu to do anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, to stabilize the mindfulness. And because our breath is always with us within the moment. So if you can silence your mind and be aware of this in and out breath, bracket, without thought, understand or not? Don't go and labor breathing in, aware. You do that, you finish again. You need to use word to describe to you what you must do, like feeling. You don't go and labor, feel. Feel means silent, and just feel, understand or not? No word. Mindfulness of in and out breath means aware, no word. Breath and mind as one, understand or not? Just aware, follow it. Standing, aware, attention, no thought. That is the real mindfulness. Not all the nothing, and all the thing. And you keep on doing that, you will never understand what sati is. Then you will be with the moment in sati, and you can become very peaceful and very calm very fast, because there is no thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. Instead, there is just peace. Silence, stillness of mind, leading to all the piti, sukha, and paucity. So now you understand. If you don't think, there is no fear. Right? There is no worry, no anxiety. Right? The problem is thought arise, all this arise. That's why you don't know how to meditate. And meditation is so simple. Without thought, you are so beautiful. Without thought, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. You are just peaceful, silent. Stillness of mind, leading to all the piti, sukha, and paucity. That's why cultivator of the way will know how to become peaceful. And their mind are so beautiful. That's why I always ask the question, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? You never inquire. But this is a great inquiry. Understand? The theory is there. The explanation is there, it's so simple. Without thought, I'm already peaceful, I'm already aware. But why can't I be peaceful? How come thought keep on arising? What is the reason? What is the reason? No. You have to look at the Dhamma, the dependent origination. What is the reason why you think a lot? Ignorant, very good. Ignorant, avijja paccaya. Because of avijja, you create thought, mental activity. You think a lot. You become emotional. That's why you have to root out avijja. That's why you have to develop spiritual faculty to develop panya. Otherwise, avijja will be there. Understand? So all these are in the teaching. It's so simple. Then your mindfulness will stabilize to become samadhi. You have to train until you are so skillful with it, until you don't need to depend on the object of meditation to become peaceful, which means you don't need the breath to anchor your sati anymore. You can become peaceful on your own because your mind is already established in sati and samadhi. Your spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi are very important because when you have sati and samadhi, the fifth spiritual faculty, which is panya or wisdom, will come to be via your ability to see things as they are. So the first part of meditation is just to cultivate and develop this spiritual faculty, and then after that your mind has developed all these five spiritual faculty, there will be no more mental hindrance. Then you will be able to meditate very easily and very naturally. That silent mind is sati, is the meditative mind. The meditative mind can understand things very fast. Then the second part is to use that mind with the spiritual faculty to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path includes the four foundations of mindfulness and all the rest of the other essential Dhamma. So that is the gist of it. So now I will off the light and I will give you all the appropriate instruction to develop the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. So all these are the same, isn't it? So 3.3, you go back and read. Every day also more or less same instruction. Then you have to turn to page 20. Page 19. Third paragraph, page 19. When the mind is in sati, it is just aware without thought. Get that understood. That's why I bold it. It is just aware, always without thought. Then if you continue to relax and allow the anapanasati to develop, you will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful, and your mind will become more and more tranquil. Later on, this PT will stabilize until you just like to meditate. Because when PT arises, your mind state are very different. You will like to meditate. Then if you continue to relax, just aware and silent, the PT will become sukha or bliss. Sukha is a very refined state of piti. When the mind becomes so subtle and so refined, it will accumulate into bliss. It is very blissful feeling. You will feel so good. And you will like to meditate because it is very beautiful. It's a very beautiful spiritual mind state. But the only danger is many meditators get attached to this sukha or bliss. They get absorbed into it and they keep on looking for it to be repeated because it is so blissful. That's how they get stuck. And then they don't progress anymore. Because like any good food, after you have experienced tasting it many times, it's no longer special. That is the reason why later on, you will start to develop the restlessness, doubt and unhappiness again. So what you should do when you come across this sukha, experience it, especially if you have it for the first time, just to understand its characteristics and nature, so that you are not deluded, so that you will not deludedly cling on to it. Then you should just allow it to be and continue to relax. That's why the key word is always relax, and allow this sukha to continue to become more and more refined. After a while, the sukha will transform and the mind will become very quiet, very peaceful and very tranquil. And then you will enter what they call the mind state of paucity. When this happens, there is a shift of consciousness. You will know, the meditator, the cultivator, the five degree of form and mind will know. It's just like just now, suddenly stillness. All of the chattering, the vibration, all no more. The mind becomes so quiet. Even that sukha, the bliss, that sensation, that feeling, the very, very refined type of feeling also disappear. Then it becomes so quiet, so still, so tranquil. like nothing inside there. So that's how you can go through it. Pausati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought. When you reach that state, you will realize that all of your object of meditation, whether it is breathing or anapanasati or rising and falling, will become very subtle. Very, very subtle, like no more breathing, like you cannot detect it anymore. Even the rising and falling of the abdomen, like you cannot detect it anymore. Everything has become so subtle. When this happens, don't panic. You should just silence your mind and continue to just relax further and allow it to be. If you do it long enough until this pausati stabilizes, then you will come to realize that even the very refined breathing will start to become prominent again. This more refined sati will have the ability to detect the breath again, which means the mind has developed a higher or more refined state of mindfulness. It can be mindful of all the subtle movement. Then you will come to realize wherever you locate your this mind or place your this mind, you will be able to detect all the very fine vibration and movement there. Like it has become more sensitive. The mind that is already in sati naturally can be at whatever location you want it to be. And you can also feel clearly within whatever that is happening along with the movements, the vibration. And you can even detect your own heartbeat without a stethoscope. Then everything is like magnified, slowed down and very clear. And this is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the still tranquil mind in pausati that can develop the understanding of meditation. They can understand how sense door consciousness arise and pass away. It can also be at the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away. It can see all of the characteristics of nature within every phenomena that arise and pass away. It can be even at the moment of feeling. Remember this morning I shared with you? At the moment of feeling, moment of perception, activity of mind and consciousness. That's why that silent mind is very different. It is in sati naturally, and there is samadhi, born of a free mind, not a conditioned state. So you just have to train your mind until it's very stable. Then all this you will understand. You will start to understand, because you will experience them, and then all of the Buddha's essential teaching, you will start to witness them within your own form and mind. You only need to silence your mind. Okay, I will let you all continue the meditation on your own. And I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Then we can start second session. See? First session only. Haven't gone to second session. You better go and read. I tell you, this whole book is a gem, a jewel. And I can tell you, there is nothing that is clearer than this. Everything is being shared at that Thursday class, and that was a very unique Thursday class, 12 September 2013. And when your mind becomes very subtle, where you cannot feel your rising, falling, or your breathing, what they tell you to do? Note one. Sitting, touching. You go and do that. Arise your thought again. Then you cannot develop pausati. To develop pausati, you must be 100% silent, without thought. That's why they can never break through and penetrate. And when you develop until that pausati arise, you will become very beautiful. You will come to understand all of a sudden, your mind is already in sati. You don't have to train anymore. All the object of meditation, no more required. Because when I went through that, I realized, how come the mind is like that now? I don't need anything to anchor it anymore. Then I realized every moment of seeing is sati. Every moment of hearing is sati. Every moment of smell, taste, tactile or thought arising, movement, everything is in sati. Then I realized this is the true mind. This is the silent mind. This is a meditative mind. This is heedfulness. That's why I can share with you, and no book talk about it. Just silent, don't do anything. And the real meditation is just silent, nothing else. And you are so lucky because all these are recorded and transcribed. Otherwise, I have been repeating all this many, many times at retreats and all those things. That's why only at retreat, most of the time, I talk about this more because it's for the higher being and those who are serious cultivator. So this type of understanding or cultivation is very unique and very rare, very difficult to come by. When you already have the condition, make full use of it. Determine, develop your faith, your sadha virya, then strive on with heedfulness. That is the most important thing that you have to do with the form and mind you have. You have such beautiful condition. You must strive on with heedfulness. And this life, you can stabilize it. In future, when you come, you don't have to worry. You will inherit them. They will be with you. And this window is the best for you to penetrate. While this form and mind can still last how long, I don't know. You don't wait till this form and mind gone on it. Ayo, should have listened to Brother Teo. Then the time too late. So whatever it is, I wish you all the best. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, 5:30, so we will do the closing puja. Maybe we no need to share and transfer merit, we will do at night. We just chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. After this 5:30 to 6:30, you can take your bath. You can tidy up your thing and do whatever you want. Then after that, 6:30, we meet back here, correct? 6:30. You can have your sitting meditation. I will also come in to maybe check on you all, then give you some instruction, because I haven't given instruction here before. Okay, we will do the closing salutation.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami.
Okay. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. One more thing, you all should rejoice because as Dhamma friend, you partake in the printing of this book, understand? It's such a wonderful book. You are part of it. You should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why this is to benefit Dhamma friends. That's why after this book came out, a lot of you progressed very fast. When was this book printed? Oh, 2013, you know, 1.5 years ago, more than 1.5 years ago. That's why I remember after this book came out. That year, Dhamma really flourished within the Kayana meters. Brilliant. Dr. Hung, you want to? Okay.